My job was taking care of the fish on ice. We had the sawdust pile with a lot of ice, and which lasted all summer. They got it out of the lake in the wintertime. And I was up here a couple times with my dad and a horse. We were out with horses and stuff. It was interesting, but I didn't know what we were really doing till the summer when fishing season started. 10, 12-year-old kid.
The first half of the 20th century was the golden age of the small family resort in northern Minnesota. This week I'm talking to Bill Schreeder, a man who carried his love of fishing out of that golden age and made it his life. Today, Bill is 83 and still fishing.
Well, my job anyway, as I said, was to put fish in the ground for people, take their guts and gills out, and nobody filleted at that time. In fact, they never even knew what the word fillet meant. The other thing I did, I had time, my cane pole, I go down there and jab a minnow through the side and throw it in and let it float down the current and catch a fish. It was almost automatic. And I'd go up there and with a gunny sack and throw it in any time of the day. And you catch a walleye and bring it back. And you got them back quick enough and put them in the live box, the guys would give me a quarter apiece. They'd take what they wanted out of there. I had my business going early. It was really a guide business at that time. But it was it was kind of cool. I could hardly reach the oars, big old wooden boats. It seemed about like battleships at that time. And I only let them cast, daredevils. I was a funny kid. I wouldn't let them keep any northerns that were under 3 pounds. Once in a while, somebody caught something besides a northern, but that was just what I did. You know, and they usually give me a quarter or so, something like that. Was a quarter in those days was money, you know, real money.
Bill's grandfather was one of the early homesteaders in the Turtle River area. It was a different world back then.
Back in the late 1800s, and when they homesteaded, in fact, they're still called the Moose Bend. Their biggest meat supply was moose. You saw the deer, you found a few along the river, but everything inland was still big timber.
Puerto Rico!
As a young man, with the Korean War underway, Bill went into the military. But he ended up serving his time in Puerto Rico, and of course, learning to deep sea fish from the locals.
Bonita and different fish once in a while. A king mackerel, which was a prize fish, and lots of small mackerel and other stuff like that. But we caught them jig fishing, using the lead head with feathers and hair on it. And that was not anything that we had used in earlier days. So when I came back to the resort that my dad had bought in the early 50s there, nobody used that. So I tried it on Cass Lake. And as far as I know, there was nobody. You couldn't even buy the things. And they really worked. I mean, they worked northerns. Took me a while to figure out the walleye business. Nobody used a minnow on them, just a plain lead head with feathers on it and their hair. And it really worked. I mean, it just really worked. And once you learned to keep it on the bottom, you caught walleyes. And that was how that started. And that's how I got going really big in the guide business, because I had all kinds of phone calls from people that, because I was successful and some of the guides weren't.
So Bill introduced a whole new way of fishing into our area. Amazing. After the service and college, and continuing to grow a successful fishing guide business, Bill landed the perfect career for an avid fisherman, teaching.
Well, actually, I have to say that when I started teaching in Akeley, with all the extras included, at roughly $3,000 a year, and that's all I had, school bus, science club, audiovisual, you name it, you got it. I enjoyed those early days when there wasn't so much red tape. One secretary for the whole school, and everybody was a counselor.
Bill taught at area schools and eventually ended up at Cass Lake High School. My wife, Jamie, was a student of his. She likes to tell the story of a late 60s kid trying to understand why she needed to memorize and correctly identify bird wings.
I tried to put in as much conservation as I could into my classes and to identify birds and to appreciate them was part of the way. I'm still with birds. If find a lot of people in this country, not everybody, but a lot of people don't appreciate this because we have it every day. Even in town here in Bemidji, in the summer, I have loons fly over almost every day, hooting and hollering, doing the loon thing. You see one in the fog, it looks like a submarine.
You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week, I'm talking to Bill Schweder, an old fishing guide from Cass Lake, Minnesota. Bill's keen interest in fish and fowl naturally led him to study and learn taxidermy. He takes me to the basement of his house to show me some of his work. The first thing I see is a 42-inch long muskie laying on the table with just the finishing touches left. That is one huge fish.
I got into that because, I'll go back 1950s. I was out fishing. That was my first big muskie. It was about 36 pounds. It was really big. And some people my dad knew in Wisconsin at the time, he let him do it, and it looked so bad. It looked so ugly. Paint job was terrible, and I decided I can do better than that. I just started studying it and putting two and two together. And yeah, well, I don't use any spray gut or anything. Everything is hand-painted.
Today, most of those small resorts are gone. The art of fishing has changed dramatically from the days when Bill would only guide for outsiders because he didn't want the locals to know his best spots.
Nowadays, I figure everybody's a good fisherman. You have so much equipment you can buy if you learn to use it. And actually, I was one of the last people on the lake to have a sonar depth finder. I just used landmarks and watercolor and past experience. Quit guiding about that time when GPSs came out because that sold the farm right there. I mean, everybody's a good fisherman.
Bill told me a lot of fishing stories. 30-pound muskies, 20-pound northerns, and pulling walleye after walleye out of Cast Lake. But one fishing story from just this past fall has got to be my favorite.
Which I can't prove. I got a muskie 54-incher on my 6-pound test last year. Never brought into the boat. I measured it with a landing net alongside the boat. I was exhausted. And I managed to touch it. After 2 hours, got it close enough to touch. And that's no BS, but I was so proud of that. That made my whole year. I didn't care if I caught anything afterward. Well, I did, but at the time I was so satisfied. It was the cat that just got the bird.
I'm Milt Lee with The Call of the Wild.